It is so good to be here, and I pray that you too have that joy of worship. This morning we have a special visitor, speaker. I first knew Bishop Kibai when he was a student at FEBC some almost 30 years ago, 1980. Yes, a long time ago. And he used to come here in a motorcycle from Far Eastern Bible College. Today he is connected with the Africa Church. He says that his group consists of some 60,000 members. And they take the stand with us on the Word of God in a dark and perilous time. So it is my greatest joy and pleasure to welcome Bishop Kibai. I asked him, how come he is a bishop? Well, he'll tell you something about it. So welcome, Bishop. In the name of our Lord, I welcome you from Africa to Singapore.
First of all, I just want to praise the Lord for giving me this opportunity to be in the midst of His people. I am really much thrilled to be here to worship with you. But on the other hand, I'm sad to be here, especially in Singapore, during this time. When I was here in 1980 to 1983 and I graduated, we were feeling the warmth of all Bible Presbyterian churches as they met together and meeting all the pastors and, you know, all the people. But I came in Singapore now when there is a problem going on, and I believe everything is in the hands of God. And especially what I should and I would ask is for all of us to continue to pray for this school of prophets, the FEBC. I am a graduate of FEBC and I do not regret of the education, of the materials, of the things I learned from FEBC, and especially from my principal, the late Dr. Timothy Toh, and all the teachers who were there. I am what I am today because of them. They molded me, they helped to give me and to build me to be what I am today. And I pray that God will still continue to preserve and sustain this school. Back in Africa, we are also involved in a college. We have a college known as the Bible College of East Africa. I know maybe most of you know Reverend Dr. Mark Kim. I'm proud to say that is my principal. And I work with him in that college, and Reverend Masila too, and Eben, those who know Eben. It is a school that is continuing the work of God there. And also I would ask you to continue praying for that school. We are living in a country, Kenya, because I come from Kenya, a country where Christianity and especially the right word of God is being diluted. We are living in a time that people do not worship the way they used to worship long time ago. People have no freedom of reading from the Bible as they used to read. I know maybe most of you are asking how. I want to tell you that our stand is the KJV. And now if you go back to a country, you find most of the people, most of the, you know, young generation especially, they use the modern translations, which to us are not really God's word. Good News for Modern Man, a Revised Standard Version, And amazingly, our government says as you go to school, it is a must that you buy your child a revised standard translation. Now, can you imagine what we are feeling and what we are doing as parents when my child is going to school? It is a rule that I have to buy him or her this kind of translation. We need much prayer. Because there are people who are saying KJV is old, we can't understand, and we are saying we need to hold to it. There is a problem there. And I understand there is a problem too here in Singapore. That is what we call VPP. And let me say, some of these things I want to say are not really spiritual. Why should we bring up VPP as an issue that, you know, is going to prevent people from reading the word, the right word? I don't want to preach from what I call a poison, and I preach from it, and I'm giving people poison, thinking that I'm giving people the word of God. I strongly believe, and we strongly believe, just a few people, that this is the word of God. This is the right and true word of God. And I wrote back here some time ago, and I said we should not confuse the layman with scholastic jargon. Because these people need the Bible. You go back there, people need the Bible. They need the Bible. It is not like you people where you have a lot of Bible, a lot of, you know, but there everybody, it is hard to get a copy of the Bible in the hands of the people. And yet now here is another problem. This is not the right word of God. We thought that is wrong. And so we wrote back here and we said, well, we don't want to be involved in this. We believe what we believe, and we believe that this is the right word of God. That is the stand that we are taking. Well, I'm not here because of that. I'm here to just preach the word. Now, let me tell you how I became a bishop. Because I know maybe most of you might be wondering, I was a student here, I'm a bishop now. Well, in Africa, many people do not know the way you know people you know here. People start churches and they just give them names. So our church was started in 1961. The late my father was the leader of that church. They named it Kenya Africa Church. As the time went by, another denomination joined us, so they changed the name to Africa Church. So when my father passed away in 1998, we did election. The church members prayed for a new leader, and I don't know how they gave me that position, because I don't feel whether I'm worthy for it, because I believed that position should be held by only the old people. Well, Dr. Toh said, I was here about 30 years ago. Yes, I'm getting old. I was young when I was here, but now you see my head is changing. That means the years are going by. So they gave me that position, a position that is really difficult, with a lot of work to do. And I tell you, I just want to praise the Lord for the few years since I was elected, that God has sustained me. Also in Africa, we have what we call the East African Christian Alliance. And that is an organization covering the East Africa that stands for the Bible. And I'm involved in that too. So I ask you to pray for the work in Kenya, that at least in such a time like this, there will be a remnant. We have been invaded by charismatics, and I don't know whether that is here. But I tell you, very few people are standing there because of the charismatics. All we hear every day is, you come for a great crusade if you are sick, and you are going to get your healing. That's all we hear. And I tell you, people are sick today. I am suffering from either headache, either my foot, either my this. I have to go there so that I might be prayed for, that I might be healed. They get a lot of people when in the church we are few people. You know, so we pray for that because charismatic is really gaining momentum. Well, I believe that's enough for my introduction. My speech this morning is obedience, blessings, the secret of obedience. Blessings, the secret of obedience. And I'm going to get my text from the book of John, chapter 2, and I'll read just a few verses. John chapter 2, and I'll just reread a few verses. This talks about when Jesus was invited in Cana, where there was a wedding. And the Bible says Jesus was there, and his mother was there, because they were invited. And there was a problem here. Now my attention is going to be focused mainly on verse 5. And I'm going to read verse 5 and 6 and 7. Verse 5 says, the book of John chapter 2, verse 5. His mother said unto the servants, these words are very important. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that we can sit here in this manner and listen to Thy word. Father, I stand before these people. I pray that You might speak through me, that every soul here might be edified by Thy word. May Thy Holy Spirit move and speak to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Whatsoever He saith unto you, whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. Before I start my speech, I just want to kind of warn you. I'm an African, and I speak with African accent. So I believe you'll be able to follow, at least follow what I say. Because my speech is not like yours here. English is a third. We have what you call vernacular languages, I mean dialects, and then we have Swahili as a national language. So English is our third language, and you find not very many people knows English. So if I make a mistake in English, I'm not an Englishman. I think you'll excuse me for that. My accent is African, so please, I hope we'll go together. Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. I said my topic is blessings, the secret of obedience. Blessings, the secret of obedience. Let me tell you one thing that I'm not saying. I am not saying here that if we obey the Lord, that we are not going to be afflicted, or that we are not going to face any difficulty. No! That is not what I'm saying. In fact, when I read the Bible, I see many people who were so much obedient to the Lord, and they went through some difficult problems, and the Lord delivered them from those problems. So I'm not telling you that when we obey the Lord, when we follow what God tells us, that we are all going to have heaven here on earth. No, I'm not saying that. Why am I saying that? Because back there and maybe here, we hear so much of testimony. People giving up their testimonies. Since I was saved, I have never been sick. And I wonder whether that is right. Since I became a Christian, I never wanted anything. Since I became a Christian, everybody loved me. Since I became a Christian, you know, my ways have been straight. I don't find that from the Word of God. But I read history, and I read the Word of God, and all those who stand strong and firm to the Word of God were somehow afflicted, but God still was there. So I'm not saying that we are all going to live lives which are straight. No. Why am I saying that? Because we have Satan. And the Bible calls him our adversary. And he roams here and there, he goes here and there, seeking whom he may devour. Do you think of the story of Job? God himself described Job. And Satan went to heaven, and he talked with God, and he said, God, why don't you permit me to go there? You have all the time, you know. Give me time. I want to go to him. And God showed him, all right, now you can go there, but don't do one, two. According to God, Job feared God. Job was an obedient man, and yet Job went through afflictions. If you read the book of Psalm 34, verse 19, we are going to find out that many are the afflictions of a man of God. Many, you know, many, not one, not two, but many. Either family problem, either church problem, either friend and friend problem. The Bible says that. But the Bible does not stop there. The Bible says, but God delivereth him from them all. That is important. So it does not matter what problems I might be going through. With God, God is going to deliver me. You know, as we are here, I don't know what problem you might be going through. I don't know what kind of sickness you might be going through. Well, I wish I might be one of those preachers who can predict and say, when I look at you, I see there is one person here who is coughing. You know, I wish I were that kind of pastor, but I'm not. But we have them there. They look at the congregation like this, and they say, the Spirit tells me that there is somebody here who is sick. Does the Bible really, is that biblical? And, well, they say, maybe there is somebody here who is suffering from headache. Okay. But here I'm not saying that we will not suffer. We will suffer. Because the Bible says that, you know, many, the men of God will go through many sufferings, but God will deliver us. I am talking about blessings, the secret of obedience. What is the duty that God requires of you? And we have the answer here. It is obedient to His revealed will. Obedience to His revealed will. That is all God wants from me. That is the duty that God wants you to perform faithfully. In other words, whatever God says, you do it. You know, when we talk about obedience, it is not just a matter of sitting here and hearing. How many of you sit here and they hear the word of God, they walk out, as soon as they walk out, everything is gone from their mind. They can remember nothing. It is, coming to church is good. Listening and hearing is good. But as believers, we need to take one more step to prove our obedience. It is not just hearing. For example, if I think about the story of Moses in the book of Exodus, that fight. There you find Moses gathering all the Israelites, and they came in front of him, and there he told them the instructions, the things, the information that God wanted to be given to them. They were all there. The Bible talks about the whole congregation was there, and they all heard what Moses said. What is next? What does the Bible say next? The Bible says, and all of them departed from where Moses was. They left. Moses had already told them, this is what God wants you to do. God wants you to do 1, 2, 3. And they departed from him. What is the next thing you find? You find now the Bible saying, and now they started coming back to Moses. That is Exodus chapter 35. They started now coming back to Moses, and they started coming to give. And the Bible says, as their hearts made them willing. That means not everybody who heard came. Not everybody who listened came to do what Moses wants. So obedience is more than just listening. And here we find we are what we are today. Those who were here last Sunday for sunset, we used to call it sunset gospel hour when I was here. Those who were here, they heard our pastor talk about, you know, where the origin of our suffering. And he talked about the original sin, the sin of Adam. So we are today what we are because somebody somewhere did not obey God's word. That is why we are what we are today. That is why we have that nature in us. Because Adam and Eve did not obey God's word. And we find that God has not changed yet. Through God, what God demands from us is what we call perfect. And I want to instill that in you. God demands perfect obedience from you and from me. It doesn't matter to God whether I'm an African. It doesn't matter to God whether you are an American. It doesn't matter to God who you are. But what God demands from me and from you is perfect obedience to his revealed will here. When God says, thou shalt keep my Sabbath holy, that is a command from God. Do I do it? Yes, I've listened. I've heard. I've heard maybe the preacher talk about it. But what is my step? What have I done about it? Do you know God has given us his word here and we have to obey it. Now, in Cana there was a wedding. And I just want to tell you that I said my focus is whatsoever he said unto you, do. Blessings, the secret of obedience. Now the Bible says they wanted wine. Unusual thing to happen in a wedding. But now they wanted wine. There was no more wine. It was finished. But Jesus was there. His mother was there. And I wonder who told Jesus, who told Mary that they had no wine. I believe maybe somebody somewhere went and told Mary. We were told when the Bible is silent, be silent. So the Bible does not tell me who went and told Mary we have no wine. But we find somehow from the word of God that Mary went to Jesus and he said that they have no wine. Mary knew they wanted wine. Mary knew there was no wine. It was finished. And somehow Mary went to her son, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, and she said to him, they have no wine. And you see the response of the Lord Jesus Christ. It does not mean that Jesus was showing or manifesting any kind of disrespect to his mother, no? He was not doing that. But here we find Mary going back. She understood what the Lord Jesus Christ meant by the answer. So instead of Mary asking more questions, she went back to the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean to the servants, and in verse 5, she said, his mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Who knew what he was going to say next? Who knew knew what Jesus was going to ask them to do. We do not find the servants asking any questions, but they were there just waiting for the next thing that Jesus would tell them to do. So here, Jesus came, and what he told them was important, is this. He told them, fill the water pots with water. You know, that is amazing. Fill the water pots with water. They could have murmured and say, what do you mean, sir? And the Bible says, there were set there 6 big water pots. You know, the servants did not look at the water pot and say, sir, are we going to do this? Plus, the Bible does not tell us where they were going to get the water from. You know, here in Singapore, you just switch on the tap and the water drips. You go back to Africa, I tell you, you walk miles to just get one tin of 10 liters jerrycan water. Especially this time, women go every in the morning and they come in the evening, just getting that one tin. And that, how many days will that water last? They don't use the water for washing, they just use the water for drinking. Washing, stay. But here, the Bible says there were 6 water pots. And yet Jesus did not tell them, or negotiate with them and tell them, how many water pots do you feel, think you can fill now? No. He just told them, alright, now you do it. We do not see them going to Mary and say, Mary, he has given us something hard to do. No. But the Bible says, fill the water pots with the water, and the Bible says, and they filled. That is important. Exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ told them, the Bible says, and they filled them up to the brim. I like that. Perfect obedience. They filled, not half, but to the brim. When the Lord Jesus Christ tells us to do something, how do we do it? Do we do it grudgingly? Do we do it, you know, I don't feel like doing it, but anyway, God, I am going to do it? Do we do it with a willing heart? How do I come to church service? How do I attend prayer meetings? How do I give my tithings? How do I give my offerings? Do I do it with a willing heart, or I just do it, well, I don't know what I've just done it, but I don't know what I'm going to do. God does not bless that. But God blesses where there is the heart willing. I am willing and I'm ready to do what you tell me to do, God. You know that. Obedience must be constant. Obedience must be constant. What do I mean by constant? I mean here, I must be obedient today, and tomorrow I'm obedient, regardless of whatever comes, I remain obedient. I remain obedient. I do not find any good story or Bible passage that I can use than the book of Daniel chapter 3. About obedience is constant. And before I go to that, let me read the book of Psalm 106, verse 3. Psalm 106, verse 3. To see what the Bible says that. Psalm 106, verse 3. Our obedience must be constant. Constant. Psalm 106, verse 3, the Bible says this. Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Not once, not second, but at all times. You know, sometimes I might be obedient now. Then tomorrow you might find me doing something else. That is this illustration that I give all the time. One time I happened to take my car in for inspection, and there was this Roman Catholic priest. He came there also bringing his car in, and he was wearing a collar, and he was drunk, and on top of that, he had a cigarette like this. And I watched him and I looked at him, collar on. That means I'm a man of God. He is drunk. He's smoking a cigarette. And I said, "What on earth, dear me? What is he showing now?" And I tell you, since then, I hated a collar. Why? Because it was not a good picture that was portrayed by that priest. You know, if I am a man of God and I preach from this Bible, I have to be obedient to everything that is here. I cannot obey it here. Next time you find me doing like this. No, cannot. I have to be obedient. You know, the Bible, we have do's and don'ts. There are some of the things that God wants us to do. There are some of the things that God does not want us to do. So I do what He tells me to do, and I don't do what He tells me not to do. You know. So here I say, our obedience must be consistent. Hypocrites' obedience is for a season. Though we meet with afflictions, we must go on in our obedience to God. Think of Daniel here, and I bring this illustration and I'm coming to conclusion. Think of Daniel here. If you go to the book of Daniel chapter 3, you see the king Nebuchadnezzar here, the king of Babylon, you know, setting up that image to be worshipped. And the announcement went through. If you go to Daniel, the third chapter, the announcement went through. That all of you, whenever you hear the sound of dulcimer and flute and so forth, you fall down and you worship them. There were three young people here who had God in their minds. They had decided, they made up their minds that we are going to obey God, not this king. And what you find in the Bible here, the announcement was very clear. And it was very clear that if you do not fall down and worship that image, you are going to be cast into the fiery, burning furnace. Wow, that is awful. Am I going to find myself there in that fire? And these three young men knew exactly very well that they were going to be cast there if they do not fall down and worship that. But to them, God was important. They could not worship that image. Why? Because they had the God of the Bible in their hearts. And there was no room for that kind of worship. So here the king, you know, these Chaldeans, there are people who are like Chaldeans. They just like to, you know, look at the affairs of other people. So they knew these three boys could not fall down and worship, and they were watching. So they ran back to the king and they told him, "King, there are some young people here," and they blamed the king. They said, "You are the one who brought them here. And you are the one who set them over the affairs of this province. So they have not even adored thee. They have not even regarded thee." All these were to provoke the king into anger. That's exactly what happened. And the king was furious. He called them. And he told them, "Is it really true that you have not fallen down?" They said, "Yes, and we are not going to." I said, I like that answer. When things go wrong, can I take that stand? Do I obey my God? I remember one time we were here in FEBC, we were studying with one man from Malaysia known as Joshua the Maludin, now I don't know where he is. All the time we were praying for that man, he was telling us, just because he is in the FPBC, his parents were against him. But he had made up his mind that he better come and study God's word rather than obey his parents. We thought that was good. When we come to matters of spiritual, what is my decision? These young men had made up their mind, and now they were given another chance that was not offered to them. The king offered a chance, but it was not given to them. He called them again and he said, "All right now, I give you another chance. If you fall down, good. If you don't, I'll cast you there into that fiery furnace." And I like this answer. Let me go to this. I like this answer. These boys knew their theology well. Praise the Lord for FEBC. I just want to thank the Lord for, you know, I understand that there are so many people who attend night evening classes. Why? Not because they just want to come to become pastors, but they just want to have the understanding of this word. That is important. Just to have the understanding, the knowledge of God's word in you, it will keep you from falling. These boys knew their theology well. Why do I say that? You look at verse 15. Verse 14, they were given another chance. Verse 2, they say no. Verse 15, now if ye be ready, that's a chance. That at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, and harp, and so forth and so forth. He said, well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cursed. That is where another chance was given. If I put myself in their shoes, I say, well, I were you people, I could have taken this chance. But it is wrong. They still maintained their obedience and their faith to their God. This is what they say. Verse 17, they say this. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Do you know there are some times where we say silence is important? Why? Because even if we answer you, we tell you why we do not fall down, you are not going to understand. That is within us. Even if we tell you this is why we have not done it, you are not going to understand. So we are not careful to tell you anything about this issue. We better keep quiet. Then what happened? You find here in verse 17, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. I like that verse. To deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Some through the fire, but all through the blood. As we sing that song, that hymn, I remember the Uganda history. When, if they know, the government knew that you are a pastor, they could just come and get you and just slaughter you like anything, just kill you. And there was one bishop who was just killed like that. Innocent. And this song was all the time running in the air. You know, some through the fire. Why? Because of the persecution that they were going through. But they were ready to still obey God. That's obedience. This is what they say. Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. He will. What else? Verse 18. But if not. This is why I say they knew their theology. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy God. What do they mean by, but if not? In other words, we know God is going to deliver us. But if he is going to allow us to go through that fiery furnace, we are not afraid. You do it. You know, sometimes it is not the will of God. One time I went to pray, and time's up. One time I was called to pray for you know, a person who was sick. And I went to my religious tribe. You know, the way they pray there. This is how I prayed for that man. He was an old man and he was sick. And I said, God, I thank thee for this man. That is me. I thank thee for this old man. And I know that you are going to heal him. God, I know and I have faith. And I said in Jesus' name, amen. And I walked back to my office. And as I was going, here came a boy running. The man is dead. I said, what? How did I pray? You mean God did not honor my prayer? Then I started reasoning all the time. But I prayed, God, I know. I said, I know. And I have faith. What have you told me? The man is dead. And I had to go back now, sheepishly, you know. Because the people were already there. Well, they were there, they heard how I prayed. And now the man is dead. Of course, I had to go back. So I went back now, sheepishly. I had to go back now. That humbled me. I could have said, God, may thy will be done on the life of this man. You know, so this young man here knew their theology well, because they say, if God is going to allow us to go through that, praise him still. We are not scared, but we are ready to go there. And we know God is ready to deliver us. God can. You know, it is not a matter of, can God do it? Yes, God is. God can, but is it his will? You know, sometimes God can allow me to go through some kind of problem as a trial. It is not that God cannot deliver me. God can, but it is his will. So these people, these three men here, knew their theology well. They said, God, oh King, we are not going to do it. We know our God is going to go there. To make a long story short, you know, the king was fumed up with anger. He called the, you know, somebody said, he called even the army people, not ordinary men, the strongest army people to come and bind these people and throw them. Thank the Lord for that. They were ready to go in there. They were cast into that fiery furnace. It was a testimony to this king. I believe he was sitting in a very beautiful place, so that he might see what is happening there. And as he saw, he looked in the fiery furnace, he got his prince and he said, can you come up here? Hey man, how many people did we cast down there? They told him, we cast three. And he said, how come then I see four? They are not hurt. They are walking freely. We just sang. God gives them a song. Some through the fire, but all through the blood, but God gives them a song. You know, I believe Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, maybe they were walking freely. Of course, the Bible says it. They were walking freely, and maybe they were singing. The Bible doesn't say that. But that is my assumption, because they were walking freely, you know. And they were just praising the Lord. And the king said, how come they are not hurt? And he said, and the fourth one is like a son of God. That was a testimony to him. Now can you imagine if this, and one thing before I finish is this. It is amazing that these boys did not come out of the fiery furnace. They were just walking there. But they were not writhing in pain. They were just walking freely. They were not just trying to jump out. But they were walking freely until the time the king stood there and shouted and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come forth here. Then they came out. That has something to tell us. Are we ready when such a time comes to obey like these people? Or we can say, God, I just let you go for now. Thou knowest. I remember one time meeting Richard Wurmbrand. And Richard Wurmbrand was narrating how he suffered for 14 years. And he said one time he stood up to just repeat the Lord's Prayer. And he could not. He had forgotten everything. And this is what he told the Lord. He said, Lord, you know I knew, but now I don't know. God, you know I knew, but now I don't know. Can that be you? When God has given you everything all the time, may we seek to obey God regardless of what situation we are in. The three boys did that, and God manifested himself to them. It was a testimony even to the king. Obedience will bring the good that God has promised for us. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you because thou art a God. Thou art our Father. And Father, that you have given us this word that we have today. And that you have given us this freedom of worship, especially in this country. And Father, I thank you for bringing so many people here to listen to thy word. And Father, we have spoken about obedience. And Father, how you will bless us when we obey thee. It is a hard thing to do, especially in these days when we seem few. And Father, we just pray that you might give us this courage, that we might be able to obey thee, even when the time does not favor us to do it. Father, I pray that you might be with the pastors of this church and the elders and the deacons. And more so, I pray that the testimony of thy word will go from this pulpit and will go from this church. Father, I pray for FEBC that you might still sustain these school prophets. We thank you for the many who have gone through this school. And Father, now they are in the fields serving thee. Father, keep them. May thou continue to meet their needs in a special way. Lord, bless us throughout this day. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.